Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the Patriots Playbook. Guess what day it is? Okay, that's enough. We won't do that anymore. It's all over. It's kind of old now. Eric,
yeah.
Scalavino.
Too many people have appropriated that, too,
know,
for their own.
I know. But I like it. It's fun. It's fun. Yes, it's hump day, but it's also Wednesday. We're halfway through the week, and we're that much closer to trying to exact some revenge on the Miami Dolphins for Sunday. Only because I can't imagine that what happened last week sits well in anybody's palate in the locker room down the hallway, E.
No, yeah, the Dolphins might just be the unfortunate recipient of...
I have to admit, I told you before we went on the air, I said, I just this feeling overcame me yesterday. Usually it's nausea, but no, this time it wasn't. I just kind of feel like...
Well, but here's the thing, John.
I think the Patriots are ready to take it out on somebody.
Maybe. That may be true, but there's a difference between... wanting to do something about it
and being able
to do something about it.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Not so sure. I'm pretty sure the former is true. I'm not so sure the latter is true.
Interesting. Going to digress in the opening two minutes of the show here. Okay. But great trivia question that I just caught off Twitter. I don't really have the time to sit here and research it, so I'm hoping that one of our listeners today might help
us out.
But we'll throw out some guesses and see what our listeners say about it. NFL Network threw this out just a couple of moments ago. Only three running backs have rushed for 6,000 yards in college and 6,000 yards in the NFL.
At least.
Yes. Minimum of six in each league.
Yeah, my first thought was Earl Campbell, but you said he didn't get six at Texas.
He did not hit six at Texas, no.
So that's out.
Because he spent most of his junior year hurt.
Okay.
So he did not make it.
I
think Ricky Williams is one.
He might be. That's another one I thought of. Emmitt Smith was one.
He could be another.
Barry Sanders, although he did leave Oklahoma State early, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know if he got 6,000
So he might
Oklahoma
not
State,
have gotten a six
but,
there.
But I think he'd have to be right up there.
Eric Dickerson, I thought of.
I don't know that he got 6,000 at SMU.
Carries. Yeah.
Because he had to share time, remember, in that backfield with Craig James.
Right.
So I'm not sure. But I mean, that's certainly a name worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
What about O.J. Simpson?
USC?
Mm-hmm. Did he have 6,000 yards at USC?
I don't know. These are all guesses.
See, 6,000 yards in college is an extraordinary number.
It's a lot. Because it means you pretty much had to have played as a freshman.
You had to
have
played as a freshman.
All 4 years.
And you had to rush for an average of 1,500 a year.
Right.
That's tough.
That's a lot. That's a lot to ask.
That's tough.
So I would think these are mostly older running backs because not as many running backs in the modern era stayed for all 4 years.
Correct. This has to be,
so this has to be a lot of older guys.
Too many recent vintage guys. I can't imagine it would be. But anyway, I thought it was worth thinking about because, frankly,
it's fun.
Yeah, I have a computer in front of me, but we're trying to do a show.
We've
got a radio show to do, so I'm hoping that someone will do the homework and throw out some names for us, webradio@patriots.com, or tweet them out, @JRBroadcaster. You can hit him up at @E_Scal,
right.
S-C-A-L, correct. You can also find us on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is how you spell the last name. And, hey, pick up the phone, 855-PATS-500, toll-free telephone number. Now, the question of the day that I have, in addition to the running back question, 6,000 in the college, 6,000 in the pros, has to do with what today is elsewhere in the world. Now, I think we all realize that in New England, we're all very provincial. The professional teams, the sports teams in and around this part of the country tend to follow, tend to root openly for each other. In other words, we get Patriots here that openly, you know, supported the Celtics and openly supported, mm-hmm. you know, the Red Sox and openly supported the Bruins. We especially get Red Sox players who love coming to Gillette and going to the hockey games to see the Bruins when they got the Stanley Cup going on. And it's tougher, obviously, for the Red Sox players to do that because it's during the same type of year. But you kind of get what I'm saying here. So I'm asking our fans, our Patriots fans, our listeners in the playbook, and our visitors to Patriots.com, do you support the Red Sox? And if, and obviously today being game one of the World Series, and they are in the World Series for the third time in the last 10 years. Are you a Boston transplant, which is why you're a Patriots fan and you follow along from afar wherever you may be? Or is there another baseball team that you follow? So in other words, is the New England thing mutually exclusive with you? Are you a Patriots fan, but do you follow other teams? Or are you dyed in the wool, hey, I'm New England, I'm Sox, I'm Bruins, I'm Celtics, along with the Pats? That's what I want to know today. Webradio at Patriots.com. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free line, 855-PATS-500, or the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, at JR Broadcaster, John.Rook. Okay. Are you also an other New England sports team fan?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, if, like, I don't have the time or the inclination to watch NBA or NHL seasons or even Major League Baseball seasons. You know, I don't get caught up in the standings, and they're just way too many games to pay attention to. I start getting interested in the MLB around August, September, when playoff implications start. Then those games start to matter to me. And if the Red Sox and or the Yankees are in it, I'm interested. If they're not, I couldn't care less.
Are you more of a Yankee fan?
No, I actually, this is going to be a rarity among sports fans, but I kind of like both teams.
Because I
love the rivalry between the two. And I'm not a baseball purist. I'm not a baseball fan. I don't really care. I just like that those two teams that are so close and so, what's the word? They're so...
Can't come up with your own word.
Yeah, I can't come up with my own word for it. But they're inextricably linked with their rivalry.
True.
I just love that. And the fact that I, you know, if the Yankees are in it in the playoffs and the Sox aren't, then yeah, I'll root for the Yankees. But the Sox are in it, so I'll be going for them tonight.
Well, leave it to strippers who hits up the answer to the trivia question right off the bat.
Okay, here. Were we right on any of them?
Yes, we had Ricky Williams. The other two were Tony Dorsett,
okay,
and D'Angelo Williams.
Wouldn't have guessed him in a million years.
No way.
But there were six. Oh, there were only three. You said
only three backs that have done six in each. Six in college, six in the pros. I didn't realize D'Angelo Williams had 6,000 in the pros.
I'm not as surprised as that as I am about his college career.
I kind of knew that in college. I was thinking he was there. I guess I didn't realize he had 6,000 in the NFL. Interesting. Dorsett, we probably should have gotten if we'd sit there and thought about it, because he did play all 4 years at Pitt. So just needed to give that a little bit more thought, because we just kind of threw it out there. But we nailed Ricky. He's definitely one of those. All right. Thanks, strippers. Appreciate that. But, yeah, he was right on top of it.
Cool.
That's pretty good. All right. So there you go. I want to know primarily – Are you rooting for the Red Sox?
Sure.
Are you rooting for the Red Sox? They're in the World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals. I understand if you're a Patriots fan, you happen to live in St. Louis, I can understand you not rooting for the Red Sox because you happen to be in St. Louis. I totally get that.
What I was rooting for a few years ago was Red Sox Cubs.
Well, of course.
And that would have been one of the most dramatic World Series ever.
I actually believe there would be a number of Sox fans that would probably jump ship just to see the Cubs do it. I believe that because they already have it. Yes, and because fans know what it's like to go through that kind of a drought with 86 years here and well over 100 years now with the Cubs. Well,
imagine,
I totally get that.
Imagine if in, what was it, 04 was the first one, right?
Yes.
Imagine if 04 it had been Red Sox-Cubs.
Oh, that would have been off the hook. Absolutely off the hook.
Yeah, because one city definitely would have been heartbroken again.
Yeah, right. you know, and to their to the nemesis, right?
Yeah.
Didn't quite turn out that way. We're glad it turned out the way that it did.
Yeah.
But after all, it, like I said, it's the third World Series in 10 years for folks around these parts,
and
which
St.
is
St. Louis has
pretty
become a common opponent for the Red Sox in the World Series.
Yeah, a neat number that I came up with today. Tonight and tomorrow night, Boston will end up moving into a tie for third among cities hosting the most World Series games. I'll bet you can name the other three.
New York.
That's one. Who's number two?
St. Louis.
That's number two. Who's tied for third with Boston after tomorrow night? The Red Sox, Boston
right.
needs tonight and tomorrow night,
tomorrow night.
They will tie this city for third. You might be mildly surprised.
Atlanta?
No. No, they don't get out of the divisional series.
Well, there was a few years there.
What was
true.
The question one more time?
The question was, the city of Boston moves into a tie for third all-time in World Series games hosted after tomorrow night.
Oh, how about San Francisco?
No.
Slash Oakland?
No. Bay Area?
Yeah,
no.
Bay Area? No.
Florida Marlins?
No.
No.
Good one.
Come on.
They were in a couple?
Kev. Yes, they were, but that's it. It's Chicago.
Well, I thought that would be too obvious, but
it's Chicago. It's Chicago. So after
because you're
tomorrow,
including the White Sox, right?
Yes, exactly. You got two teams, right?
See, that was what I originally was going to say, but then I'm like, no, it can't be Chicago.
It is.
Oh,
it
right.
is. That's exactly why it's Chicago. So
okay.
Boston tomorrow night will host its 42nd World Series game.
Hmm.
And that will tie Chicago for third behind New York, who's way out in front, 191.
I would think, yeah.
And St. Louis is 80-something, I think, 70-something.
That's pretty good.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, almost double what the two third-place cities
yeah.
are. So. And then they will add three more to their totals this week, or at least two more to their totals this week. But I'm anticipating, you know, and I don't mean to sit here and belabor the point on baseball, because obviously this is a football show, but because it is game one of the World Series, and because it is
and
the Boston Red Sox,
two.
And tomorrow will be game two, I spent a little bit of time on it. That's why I asked the question today, because it is,
yeah.
at least in this country, for those of you that are not baseball fans living overseas,
yeah.
This was the premier sporting event in the United States of America until the Super Bowl a number of years ago really surpassed it.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, as far as single game, there's no doubt about it. The Super Bowl blows everybody away
yeah.
because all of the other three major sports in this country, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, they all go seven-game series.
Yep.
You obviously can't quite do that because by the time you get to game four, everybody would be dead on the sidelines in the NFL or hurt. One or the other.
And it'd also be March.
Yes, and it would be March. So, you know, you can't very well string it out for 7 weeks. So, that's why, you know, baseball has been long considered to be the national pastime in this country. And I really believe that over the course of the last 20 years, maybe 25, that football, the NFL has surpassed.
I would say
Major League Baseball.
Fantasy football is now the national pastime.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close. Because you've even got players in the NFL playing fantasy football amongst each other. So, yeah, it's pretty screwy. But at the same time, it is an event, especially, you know, for all sports fans in this country to sort of, you know, rally around a bit. You watch it. It's one of those events that you watch even if you don't necessarily have a rooting interest in it just because of the fact that it is the World Series. And so it is
especially since it's in Boston.
Yes, and it's in Boston. And it involves the local team, and I know that there are a lot of Patriots fans who are also Red Sox fans, especially those of you who are transplanted New Englanders. So that's why I asked the question. Do you root for the Red Sox? And if not, who do you root for?
Tom Brady was asked about the World Series.
And what was his answer?
Yes, he'll be rooting for the Red Sox, and they'll take it in five, he said.
Wow. He picked the Sox in five?
He did.
Wow. You don't want to know what I'm thinking.
You're thinking Cardinals in seven.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Red Sox in six.
Okay. All right. We'll find out. I mean, I'm going with a gut here. I think that the Cardinals have the most American League lineup amongst National League teams, if that makes any sense. I think they'll be equipped to handle, with the DH in the American League Park, whereas, and their pitchers are already, you know, obviously, well in tune to playing at home. And I think the Red Sox pitchers will be a huge hole in the lineup when they go to St. Louis. Again, it may not be anything more than that. That's a minute thing. Plus, when you go to St. Louis, you can't have Ortiz and Napoli in the lineup at the same time. It's not going to happen. because Napoli's not going to catch. So I'm giving a slight advantage to the Cardinals. Gut instinct here. Believe me, I'm rooting the other way strongly. I have been a Red Sox fan, my own self personally, since 86, from the moment the ball rolled through Billy Buckner's legs.
Really?
Yes. I was sort of...
You were a Rangers or an Astros
well,
guy?
Well, growing up, I really wasn't a fan of anybody. I have to admit, the team that I liked the most as a kid was the Oakland A's, because that was the Reggie Jackson, Joe Rudy, Catfish Hunter A's, right?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a team in the Dallas-Fort Worth area until 1972, when the former Washington Senators, managed by Ted Williams,
moved the Texas Rangers.
To Arlington, become the Texas Rangers. So I was already a teenager.
Well, so you have a connection there with Ted Williams.
Yes. Well, that's part of it.
I always liked
the Red Sox. I was a fan of Louis Tiant.
Uh-huh.
I was a fan of Carlton Fisk.
Okay.
You know, at a younger age, I was a fan of Carl Yastrzemski.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I liked those three guys. Those were the big guys back there in the, you know, in the 70s I liked, especially. And, but I just wouldn't consider myself a huge Sox fan. But, guy that I worked with in television in San Antonio, believe it or not, he was the news anchor, I was the sports anchor. His name's John Kirby, so there I'm going to drop a name. JK is a Rhode Island native. So funny, you know, that we'd be in San Antonio together in television working, and he is the news anchor, and he's actually a native of Cumberland, Rhode Island. And here I am, you know, and I hadn't even, Rhode Island was not exactly on my radar at all at that time.
Yeah.
But when 86 rolled around, you know, I saw how into it he was. And so I sat and watched the World Series games with him. And I kind of got into it a little bit, you know, because he knew everything about the Sox then. And then when I saw him, you know, go from the euphoria of, you know,
being one strike away
to crestfallen when the ball runs through, you know, Buckner's legs, I saw literally what it meant to be a Red Sox fan. And I said, I want to be a part of that. And so I felt actually pity a little bit. That's what kind of got me started, the pity party on the Red Sox back in 86. Hmm. And it's just kind of stuck. And then,
prediction pain.
Yes, prediction pain. Thank you, Mr. T. So I started following them regularly. And then who knew? But 2 years later, I'd moved to Providence, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the next year, I should add this, the next year, because John was also a huge Providence Friar fan.
Oh.
The next year, they're in the Final Four. Remember
in 87,
they made the NCAA Final Four. That's right.
Billy Donovan.
They sure did. And so I'm like, oh, there's got to be something to this. And then in 88, I get a job offer to go to work in Rhode Island.
The negativity that's in this town sucks.
Oh,
thank you,
Rick. That's water under the bridge.
Yeah, we're all done with that now, Rick. Thank you. So, you know, I thought it was a weird coincidence. And I thought I was always ordained to be a Sox and or New England fan and or resident.
Meant to be.
Yeah. It was just kind of meant to be
it
for
was.
Me. And guess what? I've been here for 25, going on 26 years.
Yeah, we're not letting you go.
Please? No, I love it here. I absolutely do. So that's how I got started. So, yes, even though I do follow the Texas Rangers because that's from my backyard, I have to split my allegiances, and I definitely split with the Red Sox. I have been a dyed-in-the-wool Red Sox fan for 27, almost 28 years now.
Mm.
And, you know, our listeners to this program know that I started as a Dallas Cowboys fan because I grew up in Fort Worth. So I started as a Cowboy fan. I still follow the Cowboys, although I don't have the passion for them now that I had for them then.
Yeah, it's a different club. It's just a different everything.
Absolutely, way different. And, you know, Jerry Jones just kind of killed it for me, to be honest with you. But nevertheless, I still follow them. You know, baseball, Red Sox and Rangers. Basketball, I was never a Celtics fan. Never, ever. The last, I'd say, 10 years, I actually started following the Celtics, and largely it's because my boys have grown up here. And so when they watch basketball, especially my youngest, Austin, he's, you know, Celtics. Oh, Celtics, Dad.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, I understand he was born here, so these are going to be his teams. Right? But, I mean, having worked with the San Antonio Spurs, as I did for 6 years.
Right.
You know,
still nice to see them in the playoffs every year.
And so I still do follow the Spurs, but I have to give a grudging, you know, follow to the Celtics. Hockey, it's been all Bruins. I have to admit, it's been all Bruins.
And Dallas Stars is not really
something. They came a long way after. They didn't
Minnesota's
come along until
team
I was
anyway.
Long gone. So,
yeah.
And I, the only hockey that I remember as a kid growing up, we had, you know, the old Central Hockey League in Fort Worth and Dallas. And so I was a Fort Worth Wings, which later became Fort Worth Texans, franchise, farm team of the New York Islanders. And, but I never had any allegiance to the Islanders at all. You know, we used to go to Friday and Saturday nights at the old Daniel Meyer, not Daniel Meyer, I'm sorry, the old, Oh, shoot. Now I'm going to, I'm trying to think of Fort Worth, and I'm trying to think of all the Will Rogers Coliseum. Thank you. You know, Will Rogers.
Didn't do anything, but you're welcome.
Right. So Will Rogers Coliseum on Friday and Saturday nights, watching guys, you know, beat up on each other, and we'd go for the hockey fights and to hang out and look
slap
at the girls.
Slap shot, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a slap shot thing. So I never got really into hockey, pro hockey, until my kids started playing it when we moved up here in 88.
Oh, they do? They played?
Well, my oldest did for a long time. He doesn't play anymore, but, you know, for a long time. And so you can't not follow it if you're going to try to have something in common
with
your kids.
You were a hockey parent?
I was a hockey dad.
4 a.m?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That takes dedication.
Fortunately, the youngest never got into it. He put on skates, liked to skate around, but he never wanted to pick up a stick and slap a puck. Mm. You know, his deal was baseball, which, you know, I never had a problem with that. So, all right, so now we've spent most of the first half hour of the program digressing on this.
That's all right. You already said they're going to kill the Dolphins anyway, so.
Ha! Based on your
gut feeling, you said.
I honestly have a feeling. I don't know. Again, it just kind of comes over me in waves, and I just think that these guys will be mad. I think they'll be upset with themselves.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, I totally agree that they are and will be, but I just don't know if they can.
Well, that's very true. We don't know how limited they're going to be. Bring us up to date on practice today.
Good news. Danny Amendola was back in full pads after missing all of last week and the Jets game. So that's a good step for him in the right direction after what we saw in the Saints game. Just the fact that he's up, moving about, and is alert, and that's great news for him.
Perfect.
Aqib Talib, second practice in a row he's been able to suit up. Didn't play against the Jets, obviously, but that, good news that he's,
2 days
that he's
in
available
a row,
on a Wednesday.
That's huge. That's huge.
The only two guys...
We clearly saw, without that middle of the defense in place, and we're talking about two off the line, one at linebacker and one at the corner, that's just not the same defense.
No. And you know, they made some in-game adjustments, which seemed to help, but it wasn't enough in the end. They gave up 30 points, which they hadn't done this year. We'll talk about maybe the in-game adjustments in a minute, but Leon Washington, Tommy Kelly, still the only guys not able to go. Not good news. I think they really need to decide what they want to do with Leon Washington here. He's a non-factor, and he's taking up a roster spot.
Shouldn't they, figure out a way to bring somebody in that actually can contribute here?
Yeah, I think the time is getting near where they need to decide if it hasn't already come and gone. For them to decide, but that's it really for practice. I mean, those two guys, the only ones not out there. Everyone else is suited up. The NFI guys, Armstead, a lot of people have been asking me about, and Mark Harrison, the wide receiver, neither one has been cleared to play to practice yet, and there's only one more week left for that window for the team to activate them to practice.
Yeah, we did have
before they need to make a decision with those guys.
Right,
so,
we had a question actually about Armin Armstead yesterday. A couple of them, in fact, and I basically said, you know, I don't think that they've arrived at any sort of decision. They certainly have not begun practicing yet, and I knew that the window, the TikTok, was coming up. So it's next week.
No, the window started last week.
Okay, started last week.
It's a three-week window.
3 week window. Right.
So next week, if they don't by next week, either he'll be
activated,
or he'll be put on IR, or he'll be cut.
One or the other.
Those three options.
One of those options. Okay.
Right.
What's your gut instinct?
I was optimistic going into last week because I thought, well, injuries at that position, they need him. I'm sure by this point he's healed up and ready to go. The fact that he wasn't activated last week and hasn't been so far to start this week.
I don't think it looks good. I think he's a cut.
I don't think it looks good. Well, he could be IR.
Yeah.
But he was seen walking out to practice today in shorts and a long-sleeve T-shirt. We've seen that a few times, once or twice during training camp and a couple times so far this season. But obviously he's not in pads. He's not cleared to practice. He's just rehabbing and spectating.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look good at this point.
Have you seen any of him at all in
spring?
In the spring, but that was
with no pads.
Right, with no pads. So it's hard really to gauge what he might be able to offer.
Extremely.
Unless we actually got a chance to see him play when he was in the CFL a year ago. I understand that. But it seems to me this is a primary, this is a primo spot for him only because they're in dire need at tackle right now.
Yeah.
And so if he can't come back now,
then he's never going to be.
He's never going to.
Or at least not this year, but.
I'm going to say never going to. I mean, you have to consider what he overcame anyway to get here.
Yes. And we still don't even know where the infection was that required the operation.
That's been guarded pretty closely.
Yes, it has.
How secret, right?
Very much so. You would think by now somebody might have.
You don't think it has anything to do with his ticker?
I could.
Yeah.
It could. I don't know, though. I mean, nobody has reported it. Nobody knows.
That's a mystery. Might have to put the I team on that one. All right. So Armstead, and you mentioned.
Mark Harrison.
Thank you. Harrison, the wide receiver. Okay.
Yeah, both of those guys are NFI,
right.
Non-football injury. Harrison with a foot. Mm-hmm. And neither of them has been cleared yet to play.
Okay.
So, and there's only a week and 2 days left for them to do that.
Tick-tocking.
Yeah.
Speaking of wide receiver. Oh, before we get to that, all right, we'll get back to the wide receiver thing in a moment. What else about practice today? We did see the return of Amendola today, right?
That was the big news.
Yeah.
The big news, and Talib being there two practices in a row. Those are the two big stories. Andre Carter.
Which we announced yesterday, but it became official today.
Yep, he's back on the team. 96 is his jersey number now.
Okay.
It's good to have him back. I think that does help in potentially being flexible with Rob Ninkovich.
I like the flexibility with Ninkovich. I also like the fact that there's veteran presence there with some
Absolutely.
Of the younger players like
Absolutely.
Buchanan, which we talked about yesterday during the show.
Absolutely.
And plus, we've also seen a tendency, Eric, and you and I have talked about this before, but we've seen a tendency for Chandler Jones to move to the inside some.
Yes.
Try to utilize his speed.
Yes.
As long as he's not knocking ahead with the big dogs, you know, too often to where he gets beat up.
Right.
But he's right now able to utilize some quickness in there.
Right.
And so, you know, there may be some thought to using Jones more at tackle.
Yeah, if they do that three defensive end look, yes,
yeah.
That's possible. I was asked in Ask PFW, which posted yesterday, about Ninkovich and his flexibility. When I had written it, you know, Monday and night into Tuesday morning, the Andre Carter move hadn't been made yet, and people were saying, you know, should we move Ninkovich now back to linebacker and you know, put Buchanan at the defensive end?
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, pump the brakes on Buchanan and leave Ninkovich where he is, because the less you disrupt the status quo, the better.
Better off
because
you are.
This defense has been playing well this year. You don't want to upset the apple cart too much. Carter's presence now, I think, gives you a solid player that I would be okay moving Ninkovich now with a guy like him, with Carter in there, you know, provided he still has what he had a couple of years ago. And now, again, we haven't seen him in action since then, but. You know, he was with Oakland last year. They cut him at the end of August this year. But I'm more comfortable now with if you wanted to move Ninkovich than I was before. And I do think you're right. I think maybe we'll see more of the three pass rushers. But the thing is, one of those in-game adjustments that I talked about, that I referenced earlier, Patriots went with three defensive tackles against the Jets when it became obvious that the Jets were having success running the football early on in that game.
Mm-hmm.
They still had two defensive ends, but they had three tackles. So they had a five-man front with two linebackers and four D-backs as
52.
Yeah, for most of their most of the game. After, I'd say, probably early, mid-second quarter, I started seeing that, and that was pretty much what they went with the rest of the game.
Got it.
And that seemed to help for a little while up front. And then, you know, in the end, as we know,
they got whipped at the line of scrimmage
but,
again.
But so. I give kudos to Matt Patricia. He made a couple of in-game adjustments. He also benched Kyle Arrington in place of Marquise Cole because Arrington was having a terrible day against Jeremy Curley. And
Bad
Jeremy
day.
Curley was just catching.
Everything.
He was running great routes, but he was getting way too open on them.
Yeah.
And Marquise Cole came in and helped out a little bit in that regard.
Yep.
So you know, some things to take away that were fairly positive. But overall a sour taste in your mouth.
Especially, the end result.
Yeah, the 1 for 12
on third. 12 on third down.
And allowing, and allowing 50% to the Jets.
That's just nuts. Yeah. I mean, you can't allow the Jets 50% either. So I think that just plays to the fact that the defense is in a world of hurt without, you know, their main guys in there. So anything you can get back is certainly a positive in that direction.
Yeah.
But 1 for 12, isn't it ironic? They were also 1 for 12 against Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence that they lost both of those games.
Yeah.
If they had been better on third down, they would have.
They probably win that game.
Yeah.
And
both
games. And
both games
and we don't get to that push, you know, the field goal in overtime. We don't even get to that point.
Right. What was the discussion like about that yesterday?
I think, you know, everybody was, you know, and I said this, and I sort of opined about this, and I think the consensus was that, you know, okay, it's fine, you know, it is what it is, so to speak, that, you know, we don't necessarily want to whine about it, but at the same time, for an official to have, you know, to see allegedly that same play happened. The Jets used the same play earlier in the game, although it might not have been as egregious, you know, and it not get called. And then for it to get called in a situation where the game can be decided, the referee should have swallowed his whistle.
And what about the supposed rewording of the rule by the league?
You know what? We didn't really jump into that a lot because a lot of people were not sure that that wasn't just sort of a concoction of the media.
Urban legend kind of thing?
Urban legend type of thing. And since the NFL really hadn't come out and said anything on it, to my knowledge anyway, I haven't seen it, then, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's sort of vague anyway. We just needed to, you know, specify this and which is, you can kind of buy, but I don't think anybody thinks one way or the other. And I think the other part of that is, though, Eric, the Patriots, you know, a lot of people feel around the league that the Patriots got away with something during Spygate and got away with the Tuck rule and, you know, payback.
Chickens coming home to roost?
Yeah. And so nobody's like, okay, you know what? We've gotten our share of calls here. Let's just let this one pass and let's take it out on Miami. And I think that kind of is, I think there are a lot of people still upset by it. You know, by the call and understand and want to know why and rightfully so, probably should be because it was a, I almost said a bad word.
Yeah, you almost
it was a terrible call.
it was a shiitake mushroom.
It was a shiitake mushroom call. But at the same time, what the hell is the internet anyway, right? But at the same time, you know what? Let's kind of move on from it. It's a terrible thing to have happen, but you know, Patriots have had their benefit of some calls in the past. And I know that there are some fans that have really hung around the Patriots for a long time that are saying, well, yeah, but what about Ben Drive back in 1970? What was it?
76.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and, the phantom call there. And I totally agree. And I personally believe that 01 was a makeup for that. So that kind of leaves the slate clean as far as I'm concerned. So maybe if you want to look at it this way, the Patriots got the next call coming to them. Look at it that way.
Okay.
Kind of how I look at it.
All right.
All right. Steve's in Killeen, been hanging on. Steve, welcome into the playbook.
Thanks, gentlemen. Wow. Where to start? Austin Sports.
Yeah.
So being a military kid, you know, the third route from the sun is my home. But I've actually split time between New Hampshire, Maine, and Massachusetts. And I'm now tied with the amount of time here in Texas that I've spent in New England. So,
whoa.
I came on board in the days of Ainge, Bird, Parrish, Orr, Cam, Yastrzemski like yourself, Bill Buckner, and those guys. So I followed Boston sports for a long, long time. But I also have some affinity for St. Louis because I was around in the days of the Wizard.
Oh, yeah.
Ozzie Smith.
The Wizard of Oz, yeah.
And the team in Louisville, Kentucky, that's now the Bats, were the Redbirds and the farm team for the Cardinals. So
okay.
I kind of, the Sox are the top of the list, but I kind of keep an eye on the Rangers and the St. Louis Cardinals as well. But other than that, it's pure Boston.
So this is going to be a tough World Series for you then, huh? Are you torn?
It's a lot of fun because, you know, watching the Rangers run and then, you know, St. Louis and now the Sox, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm pulling for the Sox.
All right. Well, that was why I was going to ask. I mean, you sound like you got a lot of allegiances there, and you could have gone either way with this particular series. But your New England ties are a bit stronger.
Yeah, at this point they are.
Okay. Fair enough. That's what I'm trying to find. I really want to know where, you know, our Patriots fans here, if they are also tied in inextricably to the other New England teams.
Where'd you live in New Hampshire, Steve?
I actually went to school in Plymouth. I was in northern New Hampshire for a while, and I worked there in the Golden Triangle for a couple of tech firms.
Okay.
While I finished school, so about 9-10 years in and out of the kind of northern New Hampshire,
gotcha.
Maine,
okay,
Maine and northern Mass area. So, yeah, they used to be home for a long time. 128 got beat to death by me.
So, and it's still getting beat to death right
yeah,
now.
It is.
Now it starts to fly.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as running backs, the one that came to mind almost immediately was Peyton, but I didn't think Walter Peyton would have had enough yards in either college or the pros, but his name kind of popped up. Dorsett either.
Well, Dorsett I know had it because he had, you know, a full 4 years at Pittsburgh. So, that one I should have gotten in and I didn't. So shame on me for not knowing that, especially being a Dallas Cowboys, you know, wonk like I am. But I would have never gotten D'Angelo Williams. I would not have thought of that in a million years.
That would have been me losing some beers real quick on that one, John.
That's a good one. That would actually be a good bar bet with your buddies. They're totally correct about that one. Three running backs in NFL history that have run for 6,000 yards in the pros and 6,000 yards in college.
Great question. Yeah.
But with Carter coming in, I think that gives us a little bit more of an advantage. We'll have to see how it all kind of pans out. And like you, John, I have a sense of, you know, the Pats tend not to lose two in a row. And, you know, losing to the Bengals, okay, it was understandable we didn't perform well in that game. And the Bengals played a solid game. This one has a little bit more of a sting to it, one, of course, because it's the Jets, and kind of how the game was taken away. If they would have just lost on a straight, you know, the Jets outplayed us,
mm-hmm.
I think that as a fan that would have been a little bit easier to take. As far as the call, you know, it is what it is. We're moving on to the fence. But, you know, that one's a little bitter.
Okay.
As usual, to the Jets in general.
Right. Like it.
Looking ahead to the fence, I like you think that it's going to happen where, you know, the Patriots have been consistent in saying, you know, we're trying to improve. We need to do things better. And that's been the mantra for weeks now. And it's kind of, as a fan, it's like, okay, we know that Gronk's back. We know that we're getting the pieces of the puzzle back in place. If Gronk, Amendola are both in, and they rotate men in and out, we get the option of doing some things that kind of surprised me that we haven't done. Haven't seen a lot of, like, kind of naked bootleg pitches or screens
mm-hmm.
being executed on offense, which kind of gets us back to the run in a way that we seem to have abandoned far too early, and I think both are losses, but... You know, I don't understand that from Josh McDaniel's side of the house, but that is what it is. You know, they made the calls they made.
Okay. Yeah, they did. And I think one of the things that we talked a little about yesterday was the fact that they kind of gave up on the run a little too early, and there were some, I think, legitimate questions in terms of the play calling this last week overall with Josh McDaniels.
And, you know, and as everyone knows, you start pounding the rock, even when it's not successful. You make the defense at least respect it, and it opens up some more of those options where you can be those pitches and the screens. And the one screen that they ran, I mean, the Jets defense did a great job in just kind of stuffing that one. But it was slow in developing, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my expectation is up-tempo as far as the offense is concerned and controlling the time of possession to play the, you know, typical Pat situation football.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good start anyway. I think you kind of got it broken down. What the problem is, I think they just need some healthy bodies in there to execute.
All right, and as far as the free agency side of the coin, John, I still haven't finished my study yet, and it's kind of been dynamic.
Oh, yeah?
But as far as who might be eligible to bring in, the receiving core is not really what I would hope it would be. And kind of looking at the backs, it goes to that whole thing of, okay, you know, how healthy is this guy, which has been kind of the question mark that you brought up with the names that you dropped as far as the O-line and bringing in guards and a center, which I think has been one of the issues as well this year. I just don't think that Brady and the current center have been in sync.
Doesn't seem like they have, does it?
No, so you have the nervousness potentially of, you know, am I even going to get the ball in my hand, and am I going to have time to hit a receiver who may not be there? So, you know, Tom has not seemed settled yet in a game to me as far as just kind of the poise that he's had years before.
Right.
But we'll see. You know, I think the Dolphins is going to be a solid game and we'll walk away with that one. And, you know, it's if we get to 30 points, I think the game will be well in hand by that point. So we'll see.
I think that's a big key. Steve, well prepared today, my man.
You guys keep it up. Eric, look forward to your analysis as always, my friend.
Thanks.
And, take care, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Before we move on here, by the way, for those, we've had the phone lines for some reason lighting up like a Christmas tree. And if you're trying to get in, Kevin has been in and out in the studio. So he's back now. Now's the time to light it up. So there you go. That's why if you were wondering, how come they're not answering my phone call? Kevin's busy today. So, you know, but he's back. Is he in there? Yeah, he's in there. Oh, there he is.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, he's there. Before we get back to the phones, Akeem Nicks, we talked about yesterday on the show, and I know in the past you have sort of poo-pooed his acquisition, even though he could conceivably be made available by the Giants from, you know, what we're hearing, you know, through the grapevine between now and next week,
next Tuesday, which
is the actual trade deadline.
4 o'clock.
Deadline. Has your opinion of him or his availability changed at all?
Not really. No. I mean, if they get him and he can contribute, fine, but I'm not overly excited and, you know, crossing my fingers, waiting, ooh, Akeem Nicks, he's the answer. No. The only guy I would feel that strongly about would be Larry Fitzgerald.
But he's...
on a Cardinals team that's going nowhere. They're the ones that need to...
What does he have left?
They need to do the merciful thing and let Larry Fitzgerald go. Because he's wasting away his career in Arizona. And he should get with a quarterback like Tom Brady, both of them could rejuvenate themselves in each other's company.
What's his contract like?
I don't know, but it'd be worth it. Whatever it is. Yes.
Okay.
Perfect on the field and off the field. Be the right fit for this team, for this offense.
You don't think that's a bit too pie in the sky, that a guy like Nicks would be a little bit more attainable?
Oh, yeah. Again, this goes back to the Roseanne Barr comment from last week. Mm-hmm. I don't want attainable. I want my dream scenario.
Go after it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Get what you deserve. Go after what you think is best for you.
Do you think that the Cardinals would actually swing a deal, though? And what would it take to get him?
I don't know.
You'd most certainly have to give up a one.
I would love to be in the front office making that phone call, though.
You'd have to give up a one. You'd have to give up more than that.
Be worth it.
Still be worth it?
It'd be worth it, yeah. Larry Fitzgerald with Tom Brady? Come on. And Gronk? And Amendola.
That would be, well, if you can find him healthy, but still.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. That would potentially be, you know, devastating.
Yeah.
You could have a Denver Bronco-like offense. Funny how we have to already change that now. Used to be, oh, you could have an 07 Patriots offense.
Well,
not anymore. I think Denver has one, and then some.
Maybe, but. The 07 offense didn't lose until the Super Bowl.
True.
These guys already did.
They lost. That's true. That's because they don't have the defense that the 07 Patriots had.
Mm.
That's why. Denver doesn't have a defense. None. Zero. Colts tore through them for 39 big ones, right?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I think the Patriots could tear through them, you know, here at home for 35. Question is, can they?
How much can the Broncos tear through this one?
Bingo. That's exactly it. I mean, that could definitely be a 38-35 game or, you know, it could be, you know, like, you know, look, hey, they played 51-48 with the Dallas Cowboys. Could be something like that, too. Certainly wouldn't surprise me if that happened here.
Yeah.
It's all on there. All right, here's Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John, how y'all doing?
Good, man.
Eric, how you doing?
What's up?
All right.
How you doing, Eldridge?
Okay. Hopefully this time I won't drop a call.
You're gonna what?
You're gonna do what now?
I hope this time the call don't drop like it's been doing.
Oh, the call dropped. Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, Sprint. But I would love to have Fitzgerald and even Nick. Even one of those. And for the first caller said Brady ain't been comfortable. But man, he ain't had what he had last year. So he can't get comfortable. Got a line that's killing him. You got receivers that can't get open.
Mm.
And when we do have a running game, they get away from it. So, you know, he's going to be very uncomfortable until either you get some help or, like you said before, there'll be young guys come aboard. But it's been 7 weeks now. And if you can't come up a little bit better each week, something wrong. And I can't understand why they got forced up there yet. You know, is he that slow? Can't catch on to the playbook because he got a lot of speed that maybe could help, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what do you think?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that either one can help, and Nicks is one of those that could potentially help, but, I mean, he could also, as we discussed a little yesterday, he could also be, you know, another Danny Amendola type being, you know, unable to contribute because he's just not healthy enough. So, you know, my guess would be if the Giants are quietly shopping him, the reason you haven't heard more about it is because the Giants are asking too steep a price.
Probably so. But see this.
Oh, did they drop the call?
Yeah, I think the call just dropped again.
No, I'm here.
Are you still there?
All right.
Okay.
What'd you do? Drop the phone?
Car cut off. I'm talking through the car.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, there's another person out there that probably could help, and you ain't got to give up a draft pick for. You probably signed for a low free agent. That's Lauren Robinson.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Underwhelming.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Underwhelming.
I don't know that that does you any good. Certainly, no more good than what you already have.
Yeah, if he were that good, he'd have been signed a long time ago.
Yes, I agree. Anybody?
One name we haven't talked about though, Emmanuel Sanders, is a guy that we know they were interested.
They signed
in the
off season,
right? Yeah. So he's a possibility by Thursday. Tuesday of next week.
If Pittsburgh decides, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pittsburgh obviously have to make the decision to keep him.
Yeah.
Yep, but as far as the defense is concerned, you know, a long time ago, I would cut Arrington and Cole from day one, because I know you say he's a nickel player, this and that, but there's got to be some better corners, like I keep saying. Stanford Route, you got Van Dyke out there, you got Malcolm Williams, who's a whole lot better than Cole, and why they let him go in the first place, and then also Emmanuel Cook, that can cover. Nice size, speed. Man on man, we still got the same guys. If you ask me, everybody you bring in is the same guy they got before. You know, ain't nothing different, just the same guy. Different size, right size, same size, still slow. You know, so I don't understand who's doing the valuation. I know who's doing the valuation, but I can't see what he's looking at.
Well,
I really can't.
All I can tell you is that if they really thought that they had any better out there that, you know, than what they currently have, they'd be in here. If all things are equal and the players here are as good as the players out there, why are you making a change?
Let me ask you something. Don't you think Kelly Rose is better than Gregory?
Not at this point.
Not really.
Cover the rain.
Nah.
I'm not.
You don't think so?
Not really. No. Not really.
Kelly Rose used to play with the card.
Yeah, he was a Jets player for a long time. We saw him a lot. Not very impressed. Not today. I mean, I'd take Kerry Rhodes from 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, from years ago, but you're not going to get that player.
So how about Bart Scott for the middle linebacker position? You wouldn't try signing him either?
I mean, these are all guys who are on the scrap heap, Eldridge. If they were that good, they'd be signed
by
somebody already.
They'd still be playing somewhere.
I mean, Andre Carter's nice because, you know, He played last year. He also played last year, but he said today it was either the Patriots or retirement.
Nothing.
He didn't want to come back with just any old team.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm sure he would have been signed if he wanted to be.
But he wanted to come back
to
the situation.
He wanted to come back here, he said.
A, was familiar. B, he had a chance to win. And
he likes it here.
And he likes it here. So that's why he wanted to come back here. If not, he was
but
done.
All these other guys, are in a similar situation. I don't think all those other guys are saying, it's only one team or that's it.
Right.
I think they're looking for work, and since nobody signed them, that tells you what the league thinks about them.
Okay. All right, but I hope beat Miami more than by 30 points, though, but that's going to be like a stretch if Tlaib is back, right?
He's been practicing.
2 days. Yeah, he's been back.
Practicing doesn't mean he's
Yeah, doesn't mean he's going to play, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, thanks for the call, Eldridge. All right, let me get a couple of I got a couple of tweets in here that I want to share. David says, love the show, love the Patriots. When I found this app, I became the happiest person alive. Wow. Thank you, David. Okay. Appreciate that. Nick says, I'm a diehard Pats fan, but I am a fan of the Red Sox and Bruins. I support the Celtics, but I have been a Kobe Laker fan forever.
Blech.
Well, I'll excuse that because it's probably closer to where he lives.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just going to guess.
Not necessarily.
Maybe
sometimes
he's a Californian.
Sometimes people root. I grew up with a kid in Pawtucket who's the biggest Laker fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, because he liked Showtime. He liked that whole thing.
Well, I can understand. I mean, because I was a fan of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back in the day too. But you know, I had no tie to the guy because I just liked the way he played. I mean,
there are some people grow up in a place and they like to be contrarian. You know, they don't like to root for the hometown team.
Like my brother. My entire family went to the University of Texas, but my brother was the lone Aggie.
Oh, I thought he was going to say he went to,
No. Would never go there. he would have been disowned and kicked out. Right, strippers? Nope, that's not going to happen. Yeah, so again, the question has to do with Patriots fans. Tonight's game one of the World Series. Are you following the Red Sox? Are the Red Sox your favorite baseball team? You know, because you follow the Pats, do you follow the other New England teams? I'm curious to know. Who do you like in the series? Web radio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, toll free, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, and of course, find me on Facebook, John.Rook. Okay, let me get a couple of Facebooks in here too, and then I'll hold on to the emails for the second hour. Michael says, in the discussion of the offense only getting 1 for 12 on third downs, let's talk about what put the team in the position anyway. Too much pass heavy first downs with incompletions or sacks, then short runs for little gain, if any. Then you get a long third down that you can't get converted. How about some better play calling, improvement on the offensive line, and trust in the run game?
Yeah, and why wasn't Ridley getting a lot of carries?
I asked that question openly yesterday, and that's when the initial subject to play calling came up during yesterday's show. And we said, yeah, certainly that could have been better. They gave up on it way too early.
Mm.
Way too early.
Well, yeah, I know he had the knee problem, but he wasn't on the injury report all last week.
Nope.
He was, that to me means he was better. I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. By the way, Michael says, go Red Sox. So there would be a vote for the Red Sox as well.
Right.
Chris says, must be a slow day in Patriot Nation. Thanks for the walk through memory lane. I'm not a huge Major League Baseball fan, but I will go for Boston Strong. Just a side note, what is the difference between the AL and NL teams? Are there different rules in the two leagues? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Big difference in the rules, Chris.
Pitchers have to bat.
Pitchers bat in the National League, whereas in the American League, you have the designated hitter for the pitcher. There's no DH in the National League.
And in the World Series, when the National League team is home,
they play with their rules.
Right, so the Red Sox would have to make their pitchers bat.
Which means they lose an extra bat in the lineup.
And when the Cardinals play in Boston, they'll have a DH.
They'll have a DH.
For their pitchers.
That is correct. And because, Napoli and Ortiz for the Red Sox both play first base. Only one can play first base at a time, so somebody's going to sit.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is it'll be Napoli. That's just a guess. Although, if these first two games in Boston, if he strikes it, then you probably go with a hot hand. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Because you can always pinch hit.
That's right. He says, what's your take on Bill throwing the they did it too card on the Jets in terms of the kick? Doesn't it seem the typical Bill thing to do?
You mean like to point a finger of blame at another team?
Yeah, well, it's like, and he did do that. He did say, well, yeah, the Jets did it earlier too. But
yeah.
They didn't get called for it.
I think he was trying to prove a point.
Well, and this is where Belichick is right. Now, I hammered him yesterday for probably being responsible for not coaching it the way that it should have been coached. Nevertheless, if you're going to call it to the letter of the law, then the Jets should have been flagged earlier, and they were not.
Yeah. I think some coaching has to be involved in that too.
Yeah,
how you coach the players to do that.
Right.
Or, you know, up to that. How did you coach them going into that game?
Because
Chris Jones, I'm sure, didn't just take it upon himself to do that.
No. They told him
instructed
in this situation, this is what we want you to do. That's what they said. So he was only doing what the coaches told him to do.
Yeah, I would think.
And that's where we came down hard on the coaches and Bill in particular yesterday, because they clearly coached him to do something that the referees called.
Mm-hmm.
So either A, their interpretation of the rule was wrong, or B, they were just, you know, being stupidly arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Because it ended up costing you the game.
Right.
I'd like to think it was the former rather than the latter. Mary Beth says, I am a New England sports fan through and true. Bruins went to the Stanley Cup Game 6. Red Sox, Paw Sox, see them every time they play the Chiefs here in Syracuse, and, of course, the Patriots. Rooting for Sox, yes. I love to watch every football game, though. Football is my passion, and, of course, I am from Massachusetts. I spent 37 years there. Thank you, Mary Beth. I figured she, above all, a lot of our loyal listeners and fans here on the program, she was probably the most dyed-in-the-wool Red Sox fan. because I know she spent a number of years, actually she said it, 37 of them in Massachusetts as well. So it's good to know that we do have other Patriots fans who are pulling for the Sox and rooting openly for the Sox as the World Series gets underway. Always like that. Plenty of time for you to get your 2 cents worth in here. Webradio@patriots.com. We'll get to some of those emails coming up. 855-PATS-500. Phone lines are open and available. Don't forget Facebook, John.Rook, and Twitter. The drive for 2K is on now, Big E. Okay?
Yeah.
The drive for 2K is on.
I'm proud of
you.
You're getting there.
At JR Broadcaster. If you don't tweet, sign up for an account and I'll be your first follow. And I'll tell you this. Here we go. I'm going to make this promise right now. Okay? Because I try to be choosy. I got a lot of different things that I follow. Anybody that follows me from this point forward at 3 o'clock Eastern time for the next 24 hours, if you follow me, I will follow you back.
Wow.
How's that? I'll be your number one follower.
Wow. John's followers just dropped to under 1,700. Just
yeah, I was about to say, I just killed everybody off with that one. No, I'll follow you back. How's that? See, it's an even trade, right? There you go. All right, it's at JR Broadcaster. All right, top of the hour, which means, of course, only one thing.
Oh, Kevin. Boy, the orchestra is still putting on their tuxes.
I know. They're just, you know, they're waiting for the bouquet.
Getting the instruments tuned.
I know.
This is...
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Now, John.
Yes, Eric.
You informed me the other day that somebody has usurped our Word of the Day.
Yeah,
feature.
I didn't know this. Little birdie told me that the Patriots pregame show on 98.5 is doing a Word of the Day thing now.
Yeah, specifically
Gary Tangway.
Yeah,
wonder where he got that idea.
I don't know, but I know what my Word of the Day today is going to be.
Uh oh, is this good?
Defenestration.
Oh God! Now that sounds like a Scalavino word, doesn't it?
Do you have any?
Sounds like it hurts.
It will hurt.
Oh
yeah. Do you know what? Do you have any idea what it might mean, John?
I'm scared to find out.
Defenestration is the act of throwing something or someone through a window.
Really?
Yeah. I'll use it in a sentence. Next time I see Gary Tangway, I'm going to commit an act of defenestration.
Whoa! Wow. I don't think there'd be too many people around here who would be upset with you. We kid because
we're
we
stealing
love.
Our word of the day.
No kidding. Defenestration.
Yeah.
The act of throwing something or someone through a window.
Mm-hmm. It's the root word is fenêtre, French, or in Italian, fenestra, which means window.
Oh.
So to defenestrate
means to... Basically, destroy the window.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Toss them through the window.
Toss it through the window. I had not ever heard that before. That's a good one. We'll have to ask Miss Robin if she's heard that one, too. My guess is no.
Did we stump her again last week?
Week? She'd heard, I think she was one for two last week. Yeah, but I mean, you didn't use them in regular language or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're not quite as suave as Eric Scalavino might be in dropping those, you know, bombs in, you know, regular conversation.
You'll get there. Just like you'll get to 2,000 followers, I'm sure.
2,000 followers. 2,000 Twitter followers. Let's go. All right, Big E, then we'll talk predictions tomorrow.
Sure will.
And then some, right?
Yep.
All right, adios. All right, hour number one, a wrap. Don't forget, plenty of time for us here in the playbook here in hour two. All right, baseball fans, sports fans in general, Patriots fans, do you root for the Red Sox? Are you going to follow them, root for them in the World Series? Are you a New England sports fan through and through? And if not, then who is your other team? Who else do you root for? If not the Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins, who else do you root for? Right here in the playbook.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located
located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit verizon.com/amazon for details.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Thanks, Nelly. Hour number two here on the Playbook on a Wednesday. Asking if we've gotten the other fans other than football. Only because today is the first day of the World Series, and I'm kind of curious to know whether or not we have Patriots fans who are pulling for the Red Sox in the World Series. And if not, that's fine, because you're not going to get castigated for it or anything. But I'd like to know who your favorite teams are and what your favorite team might be. Unlike Jeff in Florida, who says, the show is called Patriots Playbook. What baseball teams Eric likes or dislikes for his twisted reasoning is not what your listeners want. Too bad. Your analysis of the Patriots is very good, John. Missing it. Lighten up, Francis. Come on. Cut us a little bit of slack here, all right? Goodness gracious. Just trying to have a little fun. I believe in the show open, Kevin, does it not say, and all the fun in between?
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Thank you. But I believe the show open says, and all of the fun in between. Am I correct in that assumption, Kevin?
That is fact, not opinion.
All right. So that's all we're doing.
We do have fun, which is also fact, not opinion.
Absolutely, it's fact. We have fun on the show. And if that brings in some other things, other sports, other whatever, you know, the remembrances of, you know, a failed youth gone by through the years, well then, by God, that's what we're going to do. You have the right, obviously, to tune it down or tune it off. It's entirely up to you. But when you do, I will warn you, you will miss stuff that you don't know. How's that? That's not cocky. That's truth. love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, we have a good time. We have a good time. So apologize for that. We'll try to do better the next time. Michael says, by the way, P.S. Bronco fans in Colorado are obnoxious. Colorado Rockies fans, however, are okay. I wonder why is that? Is that just because of the Broncos fans are used to winning and Rockies fans have gotten to one series and got spanked by the Red Sox? So maybe they appreciate things a little bit more. Maybe that makes them more palatable. I don't know. Oh, Kevin, Mary Beth says, no hump day commercial yet?
No, I thought we said it was too old.
Is it too old?
Well, I was gonna play the ad coming out of the break right there.
What day is it?
After you said it in the open and you were like, oh, it's kind of run its course, I felt like I would be scolded.
Well, we only played the movie one once, though.
Play it to close the show.
Okay. All right. That's fine. There you go, Mary Beth. It's coming. She's the one that sent me the cartoon last week of Yosemite Sam bonking a camel on the head. You know, so I assume that, you know, she's being somewhat facetious herself, in somewhat joking, I suppose. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe not. Let me update. Sorry. Pardon me. Updating the computer. There we go. Alan says, John, how long are people going to hold this Tuck rule against us? It was 12 years ago, for crying out loud. Time to let it go. Not going to happen, Alan. There's been plenty of things go against us before and since Tom threw that incomplete pass against Oakland. Or fumbled against Oakland. How about some very contentious pass interference calls in Denver that cost us a three-peat? Or the refs not blowing their whistles when Shelley was in the grasp of costing us a perfect season? I think the football gods have more than made up for that Tuck rule. In fact, I think they owe us a favor. By the way, he says, I love all things Boston, but I am more of a hockey guy. So if I had to choose between the Sox winning this one or the Bees winning against Chicago back in June, I'd gladly go for Lord Stanley's Cup. All right, that's fair. That's fair. I just, you know, curious to know if there are other Boston teams you root for, or do you root for all of them? So if you've got some allegiances, not only to the Boston teams, including the Sox, or your own favorite team other than the Patriots, now is the time to sing like a canary and let us know what you think. So there you go. Web radio at patriots.com. Let's get to some of those. Todd in Jacksonville says, John, I am a Boston fan. I was born and raised in Nashua, New Hampshire. My favorite teams in order are Pats, Bruins, Sox, Celts. I can't remember the exact details as I was too young, but sometime in the early 1980s, my father brought home an autographed Steve Grogan pennant, which was signed to me and my sister. I became a Patriot fan right then and there. I still have it today, now framed. I will always root for my Boston teams, but only follow my Pats religiously. And he says, Sox win in 7. Todd in Jacksonville. Excellent. Thank you, Todd. By the way, Todd, I have a question for you. Are the Jaguars going to stay? Are they going to stick around? I mean, obviously they need more than one move. I understand probably why they don't want to re-sign Tim Tebow, but wouldn't that at least help in the court of public opinion? Just wondering out loud. Priscilla says, guys, I am actually a Brazilian who lives in Los Angeles. Have never lived in New England, even though I love the area. I am a fan of all the Boston sports teams. Go figure. All for the Pats and the Red Sox. You can be sure you have tons of fans all over the world who have no ties to the area. Thank you, Priscilla. That's cool. So a Brazilian who lives in L.A., no ties to New England, but loves New England teams, especially the Pats and the Sox. I like it. I wonder, though, Priscilla, I would ask a follow-up question here. I wonder, what started you with the Patriots? What started you with your love and your affinity, your affection, whatever, for the Patriots and the Red Sox in particular? Was there a seminal moment in your life? Was there a family member? You know, I find that more often than not, if you don't have a tie to the area yourself, the reason that you follow a particular team is because a family member followed the team that you were particularly close with or you shared something with, and because they were a fan of that team, you ended up becoming a fan of that team as well. Right? Wrong? Did that happen in your case as well? I'd love to know here while we have some time left in the program today. Feel free to share. Here we go. Let's go with Cavern in West Palm. Although I'm not a big baseball fan or a native-born New Englander, I will be rooting for the Sox. Growing up in Texas and never buying into the hokiness that comes with Texans and their sports, careful now, Cav, I never supported any of the Texas teams as a kid. My freshman year of college at Texas Tech, I shared a dorm floor with three Boston transplants who adopted me as a Boston sports fan. I'll never forget being with those guys in 01, being with those guys in 01 for the Pats and in 04 for the Sox. So my heart has been in Boston and New England for the better part of my adult life. I have a Pats Sox, or before I get to that, that's great. You were influenced by that. So you're not a native born New Englander. What teams, Cav, did you root for before you were influenced by your roommates at Texas Tech? So it didn't have to be a family member, but it obviously was two, three guys that you were very close with in college, and they sort of pulled you in with them, and you just kind of went along for the ride, and you stuck by them ever since, which is kind of interesting. All right, he says, I have a Pat Sox thought that popped into my mind this morning. Does Tompkins remind you a little bit of Jackie Bradley Jr.? Bradley Jr. exploded on the scene in spring training, similar to Tompkins did in camp. However, it didn't take long to realize that Bradley has a ways to go. I've lowered my expectations big time for Tompkins. I just don't see him getting better or smoother in his play. You know, it's an interesting parallel. I don't know that I ever really thought of that, you know, so I'll give you credit where credit may be due there, Cav, but the similarities are, you know, certainly there. Fact is that Jackie Bradley Jr. had an unbelievable spring training for the Red Sox, hit over 300. There was a huge debate at the start of the season back in March and April of this year that, you know, you want to keep him on the farm because you don't, you know, use up a year of big league experience, which in other words would possibly keep him from being shopped back and forth between the big leagues and AAA if you need the roster spot. And my argument was, look, if the guy's good enough to make the team out of spring training, he should be there, period. Little did we know that this Red Sox team at that time would develop into a World Series contender. That wasn't really expected. I think if we all thought that this was a veteran-laden, series-expected team, that you most definitely would have left Bradley on the farm because he wasn't going to crack the lineup of outfielders in Boston. He just wasn't going to. I don't think that they regret the decision of him starting out the year in the bigs and then ending up the year, you know, in the minors, but that's just kind of the way it played out. Nobody thought the Boston Red Sox would develop into what they have done this year. They went from worst to first. I mean, 69 wins last year, last in the American League East to a World Series American League pennant team this year? Come on. Nobody's thought that. Nobody. Not even the most optimistic Sox fan. I mean, that's a story that, you know, gets undersold here in New England, because, like Patriot fans, Sox fans are spoiled. You know, if the Patriots stubbed their toe and did not win the division title, okay, let's just say for whatever reason, Miami or New York for that matter, those are probably the two teams best equipped right now. One of those two teams ended up winning the division. wouldn't the expectation here for next year be that the Patriots would be back on top? Of course it would. But if the Patriots were, like, heaven forbid, 3-13 or 4-12, would you have the, and, you know, Tom Brady was no longer here, wouldn't the expectation be, okay, we're going to struggle for a bit? And then all of a sudden, even though you don't have TB12, you still have some veteran pieces to the puzzle there, and maybe this team doesn't get banged up and they turn 4-12 into, oh, I don't know, 10-6 and back in the playoffs, or 11-5, maybe even a league best 12-4, because the Sox were league best, 97 wins this year. You see the parallel? I think because the expectations are to win with these professional teams, especially the Patriots and the Red Sox, that's partly why there are ties between the fans of each team, especially if you're outside the area. But I think it's also why sometimes the teams get ridden a little bit, because fans are spoiled. Cav also says, what in the hell is going on with Dante Hightower? Talk about looking lost. Well, I think we got to cut him a little bit of slack. It was his first game with a green dot on the helmet calling the plays. So I'm not willing to say he can't do, you know, what we've seen Gerard Mayo do in the past. So I'm not going to go there just yet. Anyway, he says, have a great day, guys, and go Pats, go Sox. I understand the concern. Not quite as concerned as you are right now. Matt in Fargo says, my dad grew up in Michigan. I always loved the Tigers, Red Wings, Michigan football. But when I was a kid in grade school, Drew Bledsoe is my favorite player. Probably always will be my favorite. Remember jumping up and down during Christmas in my fourth grade year when I got a Bledsoe jersey for Christmas. I never did get my Brisby jersey, though. Who knows if anyone had one of those. Anyway, I've been a Pats fanatic ever since. Love the show. Thank you, Matt in Fargo. So, Matt, I'm sorry that your Tigers got beat by those Red Sox. But that's fair. It's absolutely fair. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire writes that the league did come out and said that the way the rule was written, talking about the push rule against at the end of the game against the Jets, the way it was written originally had the clause, the player not on the line of scrimmage. But the way it was adopted by the officials and I guess whomever else here did not have that clause in there, and it just reads any player cannot push another player. So I guess they were just trying to make sure that it was cleaned up, that they weren't changing it for the benefit of the rule or for the benefit to back up the official who made the call, but they were cleaning it up. It just looks terribly coincidental, doesn't it? Rob says, aloha, guys. Aloha. Love the show. Big-time Boston fan, Pat Sox Celtics Bruins out here in Maui. Wow. A place where there is no professional sports team, so a lot of people bandwagon random teams from all over the country. My stepdad is from Boston. I grew up loving all Boston sports, so the Sox take it in 5 and go Pats. Fair enough. See, but there's a familial, a family connection there, and that certainly holds true there for you in Maui, Rob. And you're right. Aloha to you, too. Fantastic. Let's see what else we have. Dave in Lancaster, California says, what is the status with Tommy Kelly? We will know a little bit more on Tommy Kelly, probably in roughly half an hour, a little over that, when the first injury report is due out for this week, Dave. So if you can't listen in, if we don't get it here early before we sign off at 4, then just refresh your browser and come back to Patriots.com shortly after 4 if you're not already with us, and they will post the injury report here on the website for you so you can get it here first. I would say, I know he was seen walking in the locker room. I did not see him, but he was seen walking in the locker room without any struggle at all. No limp, no noticeable anything. Nothing on his leg, nothing. So, I mean, while it looks good, you don't know. You just don't know. Gabriel, although I was born and raised in Chicago, I am a diehard Pats fan. Super Bowl 31 was one of the first football games I was able to watch and understand since I was only 4 at the time. Whew. With everyone around me being Bears fans, everyone was rooting against Favre and the Packers, so I found myself rooting for the Pats, and I've mostly been a Boston sports fan ever since. So, okay, you started out. I like this. This is interesting. There's always a contrarian. Always a contrarian. And I always feel like if you're not a mainstream, going with the flow kind of fan, and in the majority, again, there are two reasons why you probably are the way you are. One, family ties. Two, you just like being a contrarian. You know, so you're going to go differently. That's just the way it usually works. Gabriel says, the Cubs have always come first for me, so the Red Sox are second. I am a Bruins fan when it comes to hockey, though, and for basketball, I usually get a lot of hate for it. I'm a big LeBron fan. Ouch. He says Red Sox in four. Well, from your mouth to you-know-whose ears, but I don't think that that happens either. All right. Stripper sent this a little while ago, and we'll probably get into this a little bit more tomorrow. But he says, this is interesting. I got a tweet from someone who says, Ryan Tannehill throws nearly half of his passes in the middle of the field this year. 94 attempts versus 53 to the left side and 59 to the right side. All right. So who's he targeting there in the middle of the field? Mm-hmm. The Wes Welker wannabe. Heartline. At least that would be my guess. Just my guess. Interesting, though. Tells me, then, the Patriots clearly defensively this week have to concentrate on the middle of the field. Might be an interesting day for Dante Hightower, as others have already suggested. Austin already, we've had several already suggested. Tim from Colorado Springs, and he says, a proud member of the Pikes Peak Pats Patriots fan club. Thank you, Tim. John, I relocated to Colorado Springs, Colorado in 1990. I grew up in Framingham, and for me, Boston sports is in my blood. Red Sox, Patriots, Bruins, Celtics, Revolution, they're my teams. I have not and could not root for any team against a Boston team. Since I was here when the Avalanche came to town and when the Rockies came to be, I also root for those teams when they are not playing the Bruins or the Red Sox. And no, I am not a Broncos fan. Too much history, most of it being painful. Go Red Sox. Thank you, Tim, from Colorado Springs. Okay. One more here. John in South Carolina says, how does Andre Carter help us in the middle? I don't mean that as a negative. I'm just trying to figure out the move. He says, John in South Carolina and Al still sucks. Al in Valdosta, Georgia, and John in South Carolina. Wow. We should have an MMA match or something. What do you think? We need to set this up, Kev. Or at the very least, we could have some sort of a virtual arm wrestle between John and Al. I think that would be good. You know, we have to figure that out somehow, some way, guys. Maybe we could get these two guys to go at each other on Game Show Thursday. What do you think? We should try to expedite that. Don't you think? John in South Carolina versus Al in Valdosta? Guys, if you're listening, that has to happen, all right? We really need that to happen.
It's coming up in a couple weeks here. A
couple of weeks because we got the bye week, right? So we will have a game show either Wednesday or Thursday. We haven't decided yet which day is the best. But we will have a game show edition. You guys got to clear your schedules for bye week, all right? That's got to happen. And believe me, the listeners to Patriots Playbook want it to happen because that's a rivalry. We know that's our own rivalry within this program. John versus Al. Gotta happen. Unless, of course, you're chicken. I watched, for the 43rd time last night, I watched Back to the Future. Marty McFly. Chicken? All right, so there you go. That's gotta happen. Keep it on the schedule. Anyway, to your question, John, Andre and Eric did briefly bring this up. I don't know if you heard it in the opening hour. He said, look, you know, it helps depth along the front four, sure. But because of the tendency to move Chandler Jones in some instances to the middle and have him line up at tackle, and they like to utilize his quickness in there, they feel like this would also help where that's concerned and also move Ninkovich back primarily to a linebacker because they need his help in coverage. That's really it. There's no more rocket science, you know, to it than that. Strictly from a numbers and or sort of positioning type of move, I guess. Graham in Scotland says, John, the reason I'm a Patriots fan goes back to the 1920s when my grandfather's best friend's family immigrated to Boston from Aberdeen. My grandfather had the opportunity to go with them but would not leave his mother at home. His friend Sammy, who worked in the Kodak factory in Boston, would come and visit our family from time to time and send $10 bills at Christmas to all of the grandchildren. When my grandfather retired in the mid-70s, he went and visited Sammy in Boston. and brought me back a Patriots t-shirt with Pat Patriot on the front, and I have been a Pats fan ever since. So it does have a familial tie, right, Graham? Again, family ties are the ties that bind strongest. And I think in just about any walk of life, anything you choose to do, whether it's tradition of, you know, family things or your work or your occupation or certainly why you're a fan of a sports team. Family ties. Totally believe that. Good stuff. Webradio at Patriots.com. Still time for you to tell us why you are or are not rooting for the Red Sox in the World Series with Game 1 opening up tonight at Fenway Park, not too far from here. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free telephone number. You can hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, and on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. Marco on Twitter says, I started to follow my Pats when I saw them lose to Bill Belichick's Browns in the playoffs in the 90s. The flying Elvis logo got me. You really? The logo got you? See, I was a fan of the old, you know, Pat Patriot logo, and then when it changed to the flying Elvis back in the early 90s, I remember most everybody thinking, oh, you know, that first of all, that, you know, the new logo guy did look like Elvis Presley, and that it was sort of, actually, it was sort of derided just a little bit. I mean, I don't really think there are too many people that liked it. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you remember when we went from Pat Patriot to the flying Elvis, there weren't a whole lot of people that liked it. I mean, we've since sort of come to, you know, accept it and think it's kind of cool in instances. And I certainly has caught on because the Patriots still remain one of the top merchandise sellers in the NFL. But I don't think anybody was overwhelmed by it. Except Marco. David says, John, just wanted to get your input on Adrian Wilson. Do you think we will have him for next year's season? David, that's a great question. You know, they got him, you know, in the locker room still, you know, now hanging around, working out. I'd say that signs point to giving him a shot, but again, there's too much football still to be played in this season. So it's hard to give you a definitive answer when you don't really know where the overall need is going to lie. I would tell you that right now, I would say they probably will move on. But again, I'm not basing that on anything other than just a gut feeling. That's all. You know, they IR'd him early in the process here, and that's, you know, I'm just not sure that they stray from that. Okay, so here we go. Terrence tweets this, and he says, John, I already follow you on Twitter, but can I still get a follow back? Otherwise, I'll commit an act of defenestration. All right, you get a follow back, Terrence, simply because I think you may be the first person in show history that has actually used Eric's word of the day in one of your tweets or one of your posts or one of your emails. I think that's an excellent job by you, and simply because of that, you get a follow back. So there you go. He says, what about those who have been following from the beginning? Okay, all right, hold on, here we go. Now you're being followed back, Cav. Good job out of you then. All right, see? Look at there. It's very easy. It's very easy. Hang on a second. Oh, I'm getting some others now. I know this is terribly interesting to the radio audience, but I said after 3 o'clock, between now and 3 o'clock tomorrow, anybody who follows me on Twitter gets an automatic follow back. I don't care who you are, where you come from, or what, you know, you like to tweet. Maybe you don't even like to tweet, but if you follow me on Twitter, you get a follow back. It's that simple. There you go. See? So if you're new and you do it, there you go. All right, wait a second. I got two more here. Oh, awesome. See, look at that. Got a follow back there to Joshua. And here's John with a bunch of N's. He's got a pretty good following here. All right, you just got one more, John. Excellent job by you. It's that simple. At JR Broadcaster. There you go. All right, Kev, let's get a break in here. And then we'll come back and continue with more of your thoughts. World Series Game 1 with the Red Sox. You know, and then as far as the game is concerned, I realize it seems like this is a really slow day. It's not. I really wanted to take the show this direction. So for those of you who are sufficiently ticked off at me for talking about something other than football, and I've already gotten a couple of emails about it, now's your time. So pick up the phone, send me a note. What's your question? Ready, set, go.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance. You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a Triple Play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Or that Twitter handle at JR Broadcaster. Picked up 6 new ones. Yeah. In the last, like, 10 minutes. That's very cool. Thank you. And you've all been followed back. And Cav has been followed back, too, because he's upset that he's been following from the beginning. So I owed him a follow back, too. So there you go. Man of my word. Try to be as strong about that as I can. Got an email response here from Todd in Jacksonville. When I asked him about the Jaguars, and he says, I believe the Jags will stay. Khan, the owner, seems to understand what the Jags are right now and is no stranger to building something from the ground up. Khan has no ties to Tebow, and while it may help ticket sales, it would be very short-sighted. Tebow can't play quarterback. Well, don't tell Alan Valdosta that. And this team doesn't need another QB that can't play the position. There is so much I could say about this topic, but not enough time. I think Khan will end up being one of the better owners in the league. I've tried supporting the Jags since I live here, but the Wayne Weaver, Gene Smith era made it too difficult. I think the Jags pull things together in the next couple of years and become the Colts contenders in the AFC South. By the way, it says, do you remember the Boston Blazers? I loved watching them play. Wasn't that the first incarnation of indoor lacrosse? Wasn't that what they were? The Blazers? Yeah, that's what I thought. They're now the Boston Cannons. But yes, I believe the Blazers were a forerunner in the major indoor lacrosse league. No, we don't really mention them all that often around these parts, do we? But they are technically a Boston pro sports team. Jefferson in Salt Lake City getting ready for his big weekend at a tailgate here in Foxborough. Hey, Jefferson.
You know it, baby. How you doing?
Excellent.
Awesome. Hey, I want to tell you, I'm not a Facebook or Twitter guy, not a big social networker. I opened up a Twitter page just to join you, follow you, whatever it's called. So you got me on there, and I probably will never look at it again, but that's one in your corner.
You're all right, baby. You're all right.
I think it's me, and my wife doesn't even follow me on Twitter. So I'll make sure that she adds you on there, too.
That's all right. Well, my girlfriend doesn't follow Twitter either. So, in fact, she grudgingly goes to Facebook. And I'm like, well, come on, hon, just for me? No, I'm not going to do it. So,
you can't live with them. You can't shoot them. Is that what they say? Yeah.
You said that. I did not. Just for the record. Just for the record.
It's going to be a cold night at my house tonight.
But, there you go.
Hey, 3 days in counting, baby. I'm more and more excited every single day. I haven't been able to listen to your show up until this point, so the things that I'm about to say might be a little redundant.
Go ahead.
First and foremost, am I following Al again? Or
No. No, I haven't heard. We didn't hear from Al today. We didn't hear from him yesterday. So I'm going to guess that Al's going to wait to predict tomorrow if we hear from him at all.
Well, a shout out to Al. Always be on the show, Al, because you're the best. Love listening to you.
See, there you go. So now we've had somebody who hates Al's guts, John in South Carolina, and someone who's a big Al fan. So I like that. We sit on both sides of the fence.
You can have a happy marriage of the two. I hate Rex Ryan, but sometimes he is sure fun to listen to. So
yes, true.
One way or the other. I got to say about the Jets game, and I know we're moving on to Miami, but that the rule, you know, I mean, the fact that, you know, the Patriots were the first instance of this particular rule getting enforced, and it came at the most horrible time ever, that sucks. But honestly, watching the game over, I watched it two or three times. We were outplayed in that game, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I mean, it was pretty sad to watch. And I honestly, at the end of the day, as much as that rule, you know, and that penalty hurt, because we probably would have won. I mean, we would have had gone, like, what, 20 yards to get within field goal range of Gostkowski. But, I mean, it didn't feel like we really deserved to win that game. I kind of felt like justice was served, as much as it pains me to say that about the New York Jets, but I think they earned that win. And hopefully moving forward, Gronk will get over his jitters. I mean, he had a great game, I thought, but at the same time, moving forward, I think he's just going to get better and better. The chemistry being on field is going to be great. What are your thoughts on the Andre Carter signing?
Well, first of all, I think you're absolutely right about, you know, the field goal and such, but Carter, I think, is an okay sign. I mean, nobody's doing cartwheels over it, but I don't think it was intended for that. They're sure. Bringing him in for depth. They're bringing him in for flexibility, position flexibility, allow maybe Ninkovich to slide back more into coverage situations, which I think they feel like they need the help that way in the linebacking core. And that could start this week, because as we got, an email earlier today that, Ryan Tannehill, over 50% of his passes, or right at about half of his passes thrown, are in the middle of the field as opposed down the left or right sideline. So
yes.
The Patriots feeling like the linebackers are going to see their coverage situations increase this Sunday. They're trying to bring somebody in to allow someone with the foot speed and maybe lateral movement in order to do that covering. And so I think that's primarily why Carter is in there. He also allows a little flexibility in getting Jones off the end and maybe him try to match up in mismatch situations at tackle, which they have done already this year on several occasions, and they like mm-hmm. to utilize his speed there. I don't think they want him knocking heads with the slobber knockers up front, the 300-pound plus guys, but I think sure. they like his quickness up the middle to try to collapse a pocket.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like him. I was always, I was disappointed when we lost him to IR. I always liked his fire. He seemed to, you know, really kind of impact the game. And hopefully, you know, I mean, hopefully he can come in and have the same type of impact. I mean, granted, that was 2 years ago, and, you know, an injury reserve injury, you know, in the past, but, hopefully moving forward, he can actually do something. What is the status? I know Amendola practiced today.
Yes.
Is there optimism that he might be cleared to play this week, or is that still a pipe dream? Are we still looking for him at least another week?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell, Jefferson, with concussions. It really depends on the severity. We'll find out hopefully a little bit more in the next 10 to 15 minutes when the injury report is due out. I can only tell you that if he's back on the field, that's a step in the right direction. But then again, he was back on the field for 2 or 3 weeks before he came back the first time, you know, he was injured with the groin injury this year. So, you know, sure. Man, he really took a hit, and I'd be surprised if I'd personally be surprised if he was back this week. But you know what? Maybe it just looked worse than it really was. You know,
well, I mean, he was definitely out.
He was out. Oh yeah, he was cocked cold.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody up close get knocked out, but they do this weird kind of convulsed snoring thing, and I mean, you can see him just convulse. I mean, he was a goner.
Well, that's why he was kind of looked like on the sidelines when he got up and he got revived. It looked like he was fighting guys off of him. You know, it looked like he was mad. It's because he was basically reacting. He didn't know where he was.
Exactly, exactly. And, I mean, obviously player safety, you know, is the number one thing. We want to make sure he's good to go. But, yeah, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of people, you know, talk, you know, again, I got a lot of Miami fans where I'm at, and, you know, they're just blaring right now, obviously. But just talking about how fragile he is. And, you know, I mean, that hit that he took wouldn't put anybody out.
Right.
Anybody. I don't care who you are. You take a massive hit to the head like that, you're you're not coming back.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I feel for this week. So I think if he's practicing again tomorrow, it's a step in the right direction. But I'd be stunned if he was, anything other than, he could still be doubtful in practice, but he's probably, it's certainly questionable.
Yeah. Well, it's probably certainly not going to be his decision because
No, that's true too. Yeah.
I'm sure he wants to be out there immediately, and everything that I've seen from him, I love his grit, I love his fire, and hopefully he can stay on the field for an elongated period of time because we sure could use him.
Correct, you are. Absolutely. So, got to start getting some of those offensive pieces back. That's very true.
I hear you, man. Well, hey, John, can't wait to come out there. Can't wait to hear your voice on that big loud speaker. And you have yourself a hell of a day, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Jefferson, do you know where your tickets are?
Yeah, they're okay. You know where the Patriots flags are?
Yeah.
For the championship.
Yeah.
I'm at the very, very top. But I'm just to the right.
Okay.
Of those, but yeah. So I'm just on the right hand side of the big scoreboard.
Well, if you are all right, so if you are then in the stadium, say an hour before the game, all right, come by where the broadcast booths are. You'll see them on the visitor's side between the 40-yard lines, and come up to the second window on the left. That's where you find me. All right, come up and wave because I'd love to meet you.
That'd be great, man. I appreciate that.
All right, good stuff.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Safe travels. Here is Andrew in Buffalo. Andrew, you're in the playbook.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Andrew. What's happening today?
Nothing much. Just really love the show.
Thank you.
Like my second time calling.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for picking up the phone. I remember your first time. It was a good start, so I'm glad you came back.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a diehard Patriots fan. Not really of a Red Sox fan, but like I do want them to win. Bruins, I hear that they're pretty good. I don't have any, like, I'm not a big fan of them, but yeah, I want them to win. But I like the Celtics. You know, I been following them the past couple of years. I'm kind of upset that their team is kind of split up now.
Yeah.
Are you a
native New Englander? Or are you always from Buffalo?
I always been in Buffalo. Yeah, it was the hatred. My family are big Buffalo fans, and it was their hate for the Patriots that led me to be a Patriots.
Ah, so rather than family, you are the contrarian in your family.
Right. Yeah. I'm a nemesis. Every week they, got trash talking. If they lose, I ignore their call, but if they win, they cuss me out and things like that.
Yeah, I got it. All right, but that's okay. Yeah. But so I assume then you've been a Patriots fan for how many years?
Well, I didn't learn the game of football until 2003. I started playing football because my brother was in the Little League, and I joined with him. I didn't become a fan until 2005, although I did see the Super Bowl when they beat the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
But I just became a fan in 2005, and like I said, their hatred for them is why I became one.
All right,
I started watching them more often and fell in love with them.
So you really haven't been a fan of the Patriots for that long, then? You're a newcomer.
Right, I'm a newcomer, so I didn't get to see those Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
I never got, so I'm a little, sad that they did lose the last two that they're in because I never got to see the other one.
Gotcha.
I had a question too.
Sure, go.
Do the players do they waitlist during the week during the season? Do they do that?
Yes.
Wait, they do?
Yes, they do.
Oh, because that'll put a strain onto their body.
Well, they do a lot of I don't think they would do exercises that would be considered bulk exercises. I think what they do is exercises to keep their body physically in shape and keep them tuned and cardiovascular. You probably see a lot of bike work. You probably see some strength and conditioning work on their legs or perhaps on their upper torso if they need it, especially if you're a running back or a receiver. But I don't think they're doing anything to like add bulk or muscle. I think they're just doing things to basically keep themselves in shape, and perhaps if there's an area that had been injured that's weaker, they might try to emphasize that a little bit.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
But there is a difference now, Andrew. There is a difference between in-season training and off-season training.
Right.
Because guys in the off season, if they feel like, you know, if they've had, you know, meetings with the team and they feel like it's in their best interest to transform themselves somewhat, maybe the coach says, you know, hey, dude, we need you you need to drop 10 pounds here. Well, then they're going to do that by changing their diet and also by trying to change the weight from fat to muscle weight. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that means
so they want to lower their fat percentage, you know, their body percentage in fat. They want to lower that and they want to increase their muscle mass. So, you'll see them do a lot of workouts and a lot of weightlifting that will get them, toward that end in the off season. In season, it's strictly about maintaining edge and maintaining shape and healthiness more than anything else.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel like Dante Hightower should shed 10 or 15 pounds.
Well, that may very well be a case. That may very well be a case. They may decide, look, hey, Dante, if you're going to continue to do this for us, we need you to, you know, also do this. You're going to have to do this, and you have to work on your quickness and blah, blah, blah. And frankly, Gerard Mayo has done some of that since he's been here. Now, he's still not the best coverer, and I think we all understand that, but the fact of the matter is that he has worked on that somewhat over his career here. So I think it stands to reason that, you know, defensively speaking, they may ask Hightower to attack something like that on the off season.
Yeah, they really need to do it. I just don't understand. I keep asking my friends, you know, cause one of my friends is a Buffalo fan, the other is a Broncos fan. I kept asking them, like, what is Dante Hightower's role? Like, what was he good at when he first was chosen by the Patriots? Did they scout him or
He's a fierce hitter, big run stopper, and that's what, you know, that's why they drafted him. That's what he was at Alabama. So, in the NFL, if you're going to be anything other than an inside linebacker, you had best also be able to cover just because of the plethora of really good slot and or short receivers and tight ends. So you have to have that special combination of some size but also some quickness because of the way that tight ends are used now in the game.
Right, right. And that's another thing. Like when I saw that they trade back to get Jamie Collins, you know, I had high hopes for it. Well, I didn't like the move anyway because I thought we should have got a wide receiver. But the fact you got Jamie Collins, I know he's a rookie now, but he's not making the types of plays that we need in the middle of the field. So you probably should have just kept your pick and got maybe a corner. Maybe we don't need a corner, but the fact that we don't have a person that can make plays out there in the middle of the field is just frustrating.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all.
I wanted to get across. Thank you.
All right, Andrew. Good stuff. Thanks for calling, pal. Sure appreciate that. All right. I got two last words here I'm going to leave with. Sean on Facebook says, John, my venture into New England sports began in 1996 when I saw the Super Bowl between Green Bay and the Patriots. I rooted for New England in that game and have followed the team since. And being in California, I get a lot of flack for it, especially from Raider fans I meet that can't let go of the past and are still mourning over the Tuck rule. The Red Sox have been my favorite baseball team since I was 10. That year I played in Little League Baseball, and the team I played for was the Red Sox. Not really into hockey or basketball, but if the Bruins or Celtics are in the running, I always wish them well, since it's always one more championship for Boston. Anyway, I was reading that the Browns have offers on the tables for their wide receiver in Josh Gordon. Wondering what you think of him, and would he be a good fit for the team? His name has come up in conversation, Sean. That's all I can tell you. Would he be a good fit? I don't think it'd be a horrible fit. I think, you know, there's some size there that the Patriots could certainly use. I don't know if they feel like he's somebody that could fit into, you know, what they're looking for. I'd have to go into a little bit more research on it, but at least initially, if you're going to bring somebody in, I don't want it to necessarily take the time away, you know, from the Wookiees. That's just my own personal thought, and I've stayed consistent with that ever since day one this year. Akeem Nicks is along those same lines, although I think he's got a little bit more explosive, capabilities, big play capabilities. Not that Gordon doesn't. I just think that Nicks seems to have a little bit more in my estimation. Michael says, do you know if there was a fine imposed on the hit on Amendola that gave him the concussion? Not to my knowledge, Michael. I think it was a clean hit. It was a shoulder lead hit. So, therefore, I don't believe there was any fine imposed at all. All right, let's see here. Alok, is it Alok or Alok? don't know, from Case Western Reserve. He says, I came from India to Ohio to do my graduate studies in 01. I watched football for the first time that year with my friend who is a Dolphins fan. Oh, well, no wonder you became a Patriots fan. I decided whoever wins the Super Bowl will be my team, and that's how I became a Pats fan, even though I'm in Cleveland. My friend hates me now because he's a Dolphins fan, but I like that we're going to kick his team's butt again this year. All right, now we're talking. Because of the Pats, I started following the Celts and the Sox now. So I will root for the Sox, but I'm a diehard Pats fan. He says, P.S., it's not fair to other followers who have been following you on Twitter for a long time that you don't follow them. You're probably right about that. Okay, so listen, send me another tweet. If you've been following me for a while and you want me to follow back, send me another tweet. I will follow you back. Cav already did that earlier today. You're right, Alok. That's absolutely right. Dr. Alok, I should say. He's a PhD. Smart guy here. All right, so I will do that. I think you're right. I got to be fair. Till 3 o'clock tomorrow, send me a tweet. If you're not on Twitter, if you follow me, I'm following you back automatically till 3 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday. There you go. So that includes the first hour of the program tomorrow, by the way. Steve says, John, looking ahead to the bye week, I have the promo for Big Al in Georgia versus John in South Carolina. The Southern Slam Shut Up Man Battle of the Ages. That's awesome.
It's pretty good.
Steve, you really ought to be in promotions. You know that? You really should be. The Southern Slam Shut Up Man Battle of the Ages. Tebow, gift from God, or never will an NFL quarterback. Get your popcorn ready. I'm liking this. Mark in Ontario. Being from Toronto, we cheer for the Pats, Leafs, and Blue Jays. But when the former are out of the playoffs, we naturally cheer for the Bruins and Red Sox. All right, so then he guess he's choosing the Red Sox tonight. Two football questions. Offensive line, are there any starters hurt? Might explain some of the troubles. There are some starters, yes, that are injured. I wouldn't say that it keeps them out of action, but yeah, I think that's primarily why. You have Solder that's had a foot problem. You have Vollmer who's had his chronic back problem. Ryan Wendell has also had some problems. I'm not aware of anything new with either of the guards, but
Conley seems like he's concussed every
Conley
week.
Conley was concussed earlier this year.
It's not a joke, but it just That's seems right. like he always has one.
He's been concussed for quite a while this year. Gronk targets. I felt Gronk had a strong return, but was tired later in the game, and we should have thrown elsewhere. Miami may double Gronk, allowing the other wideouts to get open. Hopefully Brady can hit them. McDaniel should game plan for double coverage. Miami will be looking at the film, because that's all there is this year. That's absolutely correct, Mark. And he says, go Sox. All right, Robin in Alaska is going to wrap it up today. I've never lived in the New England area, but I am from the original England. Born in Abingdon, I initially jumped on the Pats bandwagon during the run to Super Bowl 20, just to spite my mom, who was in love with the Super Bowl shuffling Bears. I decided to adopt the rest of the Boston teams years later, when as a teenager I became a U.S. citizen. I enjoyed the poetry of going from being from an Englishman to an American. With that said, I'm only a casual baseball and hockey fan. I follow basketball a bit more, but I breathe football like it's the oxygen I need to live. Go Pats and squish the fish. Thank you, Robin. And thank you to everyone today who shared a little bit of yourselves. You know, I opined a little bit in the opening hour. I shared some of myself, and I do that because, like I said, we like to have fun, but I want you to get a basis for where I come from. And so that's why I did this today. I realized that, yeah, we got the World Series game one tonight. There are a lot of fans here in New England, especially right here in Foxborough and in Boston, who are diehard Red Sox fans and will certainly be rooting for the Red Sox, as I will be. But it's always good to get sort of a pulse for how our listeners and our fans here feel about the other New England teams. Rest assured, the Patriots are certainly in the Red Sox corner and vice versa. Kind of go hand in hand since these two teams have won, you know, most of the championships over the course of the last 10 years or so here in New England, with the Bruins Cup and the Celtics banner in 08 notwithstanding. All right, puts a wrap on today's program. Tomorrow here in the playbook, we'll have Russell Baxter. I believe we also have Armando Salguero from Miami, correct? Yes, Miami Herald, I believe he's the Dolphins, or was the Dolphins beat writer, but he still covers the Dolphins for the Herald. He's going to join us. We're going to definitely jump into the fish tomorrow. Escal will be here. I hope you will be, too, on a prediction Thursday. Don't miss out. Same Pats time, same Pats channel, mañana. Hey!
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.